Now, you were in L.A. for a while. Describe the neighborhood you were living in, what you looked out your window and saw.
I thought for a while, I would look out and I would see it was like an abandoned old used car lot.
Yay.
Followed by an overpass of the highway and a beer factory.
Ah.
Yeah. It was not the prairie, Ken.
Wow. Wow.
And then I moved. I moved from there. I started off in a nice neighborhood when I first moved with my sister. That's where the people bought the drugs. And then I moved by the very end. I was living into the neighborhood where they grew and made the drugs.
Oh, I see. So, see, you went from the customers to the suppliers.
Yes. Like, the house across the street from where I lived was a meth lab. And then the house across the street from them was a foreclosure, which had been inhabited by the police who were monitoring the meth lab.
Not to mention the abandoned used car lot and the abandoned beer factory.
Yeah, exactly. Well, the beer factory was not abandoned.
Oh, not abandoned. Oh, okay. At least there was some kind of life there.
Yeah. I've never drank a beer, and I know what it tastes like.
Yeah, exactly. You know, your body tries to tell you something when you take your first slug of unadulterated coffee or beer or try to inhale your first cigarette, and you're going, I think I'm killing myself.
Yeah, exactly. I've never even, you know what, the closest I came to drinking beer is I went over to Ireland because I have family over there, so me and a couple sisters went over there, and they got me a Guinness because Irish love their Guinness.
Oh, yeah.
And I took one sip of the foam, which I think is the most lethal part. And I was like, I can't do it. I was like,
wow.
You guys are driving. You drink it.
I just heard recently at a kind of an Irish Christian event called the Cayley that the Guinness Company, actually the founders, were very Christian, and they set very high standards for treating their workers properly. How about that?
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
I didn't know that either.
Interesting. So so nowadays, you're kind of like a frequent flyer or frequent driver, as the case might be, between L.A. and Dallas, eh?
Yes. Frequent flyer to get to L.A., and then once I'm there, a frequent driver.
Ah.
Because this summer, I am going back on tour with Carrie and Ron.
Is that in August?
That's in August. I think we might be hitting Fresno. You have to check my calendar.
Well, I looked at your calendar, and I see you guys are playing Bakersfield, and then I see some other question marks about California. Oh, well, I don't know.
That
maybe
for I'm going back there in December, and I know I'm opening for Carrie again. Then I just don't know where. This is the thing. I still don't get any of the information. As the opener, me being in the loop is very low priority. So I will get in the car. And then I literally pull up to the curb and be like, we're running late. Run onto the stage and tell jokes. Well, we park the car. That has not changed. So I just get in the car and go. And then when we stop and it looks like a place with people gathered, I stand up and tell jokes.
That's awkward
when we pull up to a restaurant and I stand up and they're like, no, Kristen, we're here to eat.
I know. Well, I don't know. Joke telling is always appreciated, you know.
Yeah, sure.
Just not when they're swallowing, right?
Well, this is like Taco Bell.
Oh, okay.
fine comic dining.
There you go. And, hey, you're moving into yet another dimension in the near future. You're going to be speaking at some conferences for homeschooling moms. You told me in an email to quit laughing at that idea.
Yes. I will be a guest speaker at there's a group called Apologia. And they're great. I remember I think we used some of their curriculum growing up. They have curriculum, and then they also have resources for homeschoolers. And one of the things they do is they put on conferences for homeschool moms. I will hold for laughter. Okay, so I am speaking at this as a former homeschooler, and just going to be. I think they will show some clips of my comedy, and then I'll give an encouraging talk on how homeschooling has kind of shaped my life and forced me into the world of comedy.
Yeah, or as you say in one of your videos, you know, your parents wanted to make sure nobody brainwashed you except them.
Yes, exactly. So yes, they homeschooled me so they could give me their own form of brainwashing, which was, I'm writing a book all about it. It's going to be a memoir, a quirky memoirish sort of book. But yeah, so the things they brainwashed us on were things like chewing gum is wrong.
Oh, geez.
You'll get thrown in jail if you date. the fear of CPS that we had, of Child Protective Services, as children, like anything we did wrong, CPS would come and take us away. We're like, Kristen, hold your pencil correctly. Do you want CPS to come in here and take you away?
Oh, jeez.
And so they're like, CPS doesn't realize how much homeschool parents love their children, and they're looking for anything, any excuse to take you away from us. And they will put you in public school.
Oh, public not school that.
Jail.
So were you homeschooled from day one through high school?
From day one. I came out of the womb and started doing math.
Wow.
I was homeschooled from preschool, kindergarten, all the way till I was 16 and dropped off at a community college.
I would take the wild guess that your parents must have done it right if you started college at 16 and got your degree at 20.
They did. Well, here's the thing, though. You need to meet my other siblings to realize that I am the black sheep of the... Well, you don't really have to meet them. I do comedy, okay? That's kind of...
I know. That's not a real job. It's like being in radio or something, you know?
Yes. But my parents were... They were both kind of high achievers and very daring and adventurous. And, of course, their five kids were all that way. So my older sister is a nurse and saves the lives of babies daily.
Mm.
And then my brother is now a second lieutenant in the Air Force. And then I have this other sister who is a mathematical genius. Like, a conversation with her goes like this. She'll be like, I just don't know if I should accept the scholarship from MIT or Stanford to go to their graduate program. And she's like, what did you do today? I'm like, I put the wheel back on my trash can because it fell off.
But it got a laugh.
Right, yeah, exactly. And then I have another sister who's going to the Air Force Academy next year to be a test pilot.
Wow.
And people are like, what do you do? I'm like, I tell jokes. Actually, I teach music during the day, and I tell jokes at night. So I'm kind of like an older, less cool Hannah Montana.
Okay. You mentioned the music part, and I guess that makes sense now, because on your webpage, it goes through to the YouTube link, and the first thing I see at the top above your stand-up routines is a recital and somebody playing the piano and kids singing, and I thought, is this a different Kristen Weber who hijacked her page?
Yeah, that's my other personality.
Wow.
That's my responsible side, is I teach private piano and voice lessons, and it is the best job ever. Like, I can't believe my life sometimes. I'm like, I get to play music with children all day and then go make people laugh at night. Like,
wow.
It doesn't get any better than that.
Wow.
But I'm doing that, and that gains me a little more credibility.
There you go, yeah.
A little more responsible.
Like I said, it threw me. I go, this can't be her. It's not. She's not standing up doing comedy.
Yeah, people are so shocked because I don't advertise. I really do keep both worlds separate. Like, you won't find anywhere on my comedy page that I teach, and then unless you see the links, the YouTube links, and then you won't find anywhere on the stuff I use to advertise my teaching about comedy. They're two totally separate worlds.
Wow.
And occasionally they collide.
like on the YouTube page.
Yes, exactly. And it usually throws the students and their families off more than it does me. They're like, what? They're like, you do comedy? And they're like, we want to come see you. And I'm like, let's not jump the gun. I want your kids to respect me a little longer.
Before the bottom drops out.
Yeah, exactly. Go. And they're like, I bet you use all of the stuff that you get in your, that happens in lessons in your act. And I'm like, actually, I use none of it. I don't even talk about teaching in my act.
Yeah, that's right. I don't think I've ever heard. I've heard about you being taught, but not about teaching.
Yes, exactly.
Going back to when you first started, what were some of your comic inspirations, whether it was people or events or parts of the culture, as opposed to here in 2011?
Oh, my goodness. What was inspiration? I was a huge fan of Jim Carrey, and I thought the coolest thing in the world was that he got paid $20 million to act like a complete fool. I was like, I love that concept, and I'm going to go after that. Because I wouldn't take anything seriously as a kid. I was so sarcastic. My dad called me the James 3 girl, because I don't. If you're a Christian and you're familiar with the Bible, James 3 talks about controlling the tongue and all the harm it can do. And I really could, like, in an instant, cut somebody down with some sarcastic comment.
Oh, my.
And I was so proud of it back then, and now I'm ashamed of it because I had absolutely no friends in college for that very reason.
Oh, my.
But I could get laughs. I would always get laughs, but usually at someone else's expense.
Oh.
So I kind of discovered the power of laughter in the wrong way.
Mm.
And then I cleaned up my act, so to speak. and had a change of heart, and I was like, maybe I shouldn't be so mean. And then I was like, well, if Jim Carrey can act so ridiculous and get paid, maybe I can at least do it a little bit. You know, I don't have to get paid. I get paid in eye rolls.
Okay, and an occasional stipend.
An occasional stipend, yeah, with a sigh, a stipend. Yeah, but making a whole entire room full of people roll their eyes at you at the exact same time is a reward in itself.
How can you see that with the lights on stage?
Well, if you've seen some of the comedy gigs that I did in the beginning, they were not all quite so glamorous as to have me not seeing the audience.
Ah, okay.
I just stand up early on in a, because you just try to get whatever gigs you can to work out your material.
Okay, yeah, Taco Bells are usually well lit.
Yeah, Taco Bells are extremely well lit. Those are some of the better gigs that I've had. and there's this bowling alley that had a bar kind of in the back. Now, anybody who says, come to my show at a bowling at the bar in the back of the bowling alley, run as far as you can in the opposite direction. This was the creepiest venue. There were like three other people there. Two of them were comedians, and there's this one other semi-drunk guy who was wearing a cowboy hat and cowboy boots. Now, if cowboy hats and cowboy boots are outside the context of Texas, that's another time you should run. And it was, ended up calling my friends who lived down the street. I was like, you guys got to come because I think I might be murdered on my way out to my car from this comedy show. So they came and watched, and they were basically the only two people in the audience. So I just did jokes about, just made stuff up about their family right there just for the heck of it. But that was probably the lowest.
Wow. The bar in the back of the bowling alley.
Yes. The bar for bad experiences was raised.
Oh, God. Ay, ay, ay. So what about today? Current events, things in the culture, people, trends. What's inspiring your funny bone today, Kristen?
Today, it is the show Toddlers and Tiaras, which I just watched the latest episode last night. Have you ever seen this show?
I have not. I'm assuming it's on cable, right?
It is.
I sound like I'm Amish or homeschooled myself, but we don't have cable, and I rarely even watch TV.
You know what? We don't have cable either. I don't watch TV that often, and I go and I download the episodes from iTunes. I don't watch that much TV. We have the old-fashioned bunny ears.
Oh, yeah, we've got those, too. You had to see they were old-fashioned to begin with, and then when they went all digital like 2 or 3 years ago, you had to go out and buy the bunny ears all over again.
Yeah, see, they never went out of style because for something to go out of style, it implies that it was once in style.
Right. And remember, folks, aluminum foil still works for better reception.
Does it really?
Well, yeah, if you wrap it around the ears themselves.
Oh, that's good to know. Maybe I'll get ABC now.
Okay, good. I don't know. I don't know if there's much on there. I don't even know what's on ABC anymore.
Castle is, it's the most cookie cutter. Like, they just stick to the cookie cutter, like, dramedy thing. Like, there's nothing really super original about it, but it's just so fun. Like, the characters are so fun and witty, and, like, I've known, like, 7 people who have been on that show, and I haven't been able to get on that set. And I'm like, someday I'm going to go be a fly on the wall, because it's been a long time since I've been a diehard fan of a show.
Hmm.
And so, but I can't pick it up because we have our bunny ears. So
I think I was talking over you. Which show are you talking about?
I'm sorry. I changed the subject. I'm talking about the show Castle, which I'm going to put aluminum foil on my bunny ear so I can try to watch now. Because
okay.
We don't get ABC. Okay. And that show is on ABC.
See, I've never even heard of it. My daughter watches Modern Family. I don't know. Is that on ABC?
I don't know because I don't watch that show. Absolutely anything. That's why it's such a shock that I'm actually following this show. Because I very rarely follow shows.
But one you do follow, you download on iTunes, is Toddlers and Tiaras. What is that for the uninitiated?
Toddlers and Tiaras is a reality show about child beauty pageants in the South. And like the crazy moms who are living their failed dreams through their kids.
Mm.
And are you familiar with these child beauty pageants?
Kind of, sort of, you know, it's, you know, was kind of brought out with the whole JonBenet Ramsey thing. And, it's, you know, yeah. they're pushing the kids into it, and they're made up to look like they're 19 when they're 7.
Yeah. Well, I say, I mean, it's, I guess it's easier to dress your child like, up like a China doll than it is to step on a treadmill and put some makeup on yourself.
Ooh, ouch.
Yeah, it hurts. But if you see the show, and that's what I say, the toddlers and tiaras bit I do in my stand-up is by far the meanest bit. But if you see the show, you see it's also by far the truest bit that
oh, yeah.
I do. And so I've been doing all this stand-up. This I have this whole bit in my set about toddlers and tiaras, and it always and it's a little mean, but it's very true. But it always, and especially you would think in church audiences that they would turn on me, but they're the ones who laugh the hardest.
Uh-oh.
Because everybody judges these moms because they're so ridiculous and horrible to their children.
Mm.
And they're always like, well, she can quit anytime she wants. It'll break my heart, but all she has to do is say the word, I'll let her stop. And then the camera will cut to the kid who's like, I don't want to do it. And the mom's like, she don't mean that. She's just cranky because we had to get up at 4 a.m. to airbrush tan a six-pack on her for the swimsuit contest. So it's this whole ridiculous world of these moms pushing their kids into this shallow, superficial pageant world.
Wow.
So Carrie called me one day because I've been doing this stand-up. And she was like, I have someone here who wants to talk to you. And it was actually one of the producers of Toddlers and Tiaras.
Oh, really?
Very new from some mom's group. And so we talked for a little bit. And then one thing kind of led to another. And the next thing I knew is I got to go visit one of their days of shooting.
Ah.
And so I got to go see one of these pageants live and watch them shoot and see how that all works. And so, so they actually put me on camera for an interview. I don't know if it'll air or not, and I kind of hope it doesn't, because I said a lot of the things that I say in my act, and I'm like, if this airs on national television, I will never be able to step foot in a Walmart again.
You will not be one of the people of Walmart.
No. That's the Walmart world is the same pageant world. Same
wow.
People.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. Okay. You know, where you've been, what you've done, and as you said, you're kind of branching out into the promotion aspect of things, actually putting together comedy events and everything. You know, inevitably you get asked the question, what would you like to be doing in 10 years, assuming we're not all raptured by then?
I know, right? In 10 years, I will be praying for the rapture if we are not, although just 24-7, that'll all be. I'll go join IHOP in Kansas.
And for those folks who don't know, that's the International House of Prayer, not the pancake place.
Right, yeah, exactly. The International House of Prayer. I will have a full devotee praying for Jesus' return. You know what? I would love to have some sort of sitcom based on, it doesn't even have to be my life, but just the homeschooling world.
Mm.
Because I think it is just such a funny subculture that is misunderstood, because the only thing people know are they hear the crazy stories of the moms who go nuts and all they remember is that they homeschooled their children. And it's really not all like that.
Yeah.
Like, they're mostly really nice, down-to-earth families that just, you know, want to pour into their children at home instead of sticking them in public school.
You sound like you came out relatively well-adjusted.
Semi. I mean, there's definitely a little bit of a cultural adjustment. Don't lie. I mean, you it is its own subculture. I do still fit in better in a group of homeschool families than I do out in the real world. But after seeing a lot of what goes on in the real world and a lot of the things my parents protected me from, I'm like, you know what? I think it was a gift.
Mm.
As opposed to feeling like I was over-sheltered and overprotective.
Wow.
Overprotected. I was like, you know what? Everyone's going to deal with it at some point. I'm glad I was able to wait until I was a little older.
Yeah. Good advice. No wonder you're going to be speaking before homeschooling groups.
Yeah, right. I'm a homeschool fan. I am definitely pro-homeschooling.
You going to raise your kids homeschooled?
I hope to. Now, I don't want to say never, because God has a way of taking that word and turning it on its head. So
mm-hmm.
I will not say I would never send my kids to school, but I would love to homeschool them.
Hmm.
Or do one of those schools. They have so many things now. They have those 2-day a weeks where you send your kids to get all their assignments and then they're home 3 days a week. I would also do that, because if I am my children's only teacher, they will not know how to do math.
Hey.
I'm like, comedy's in rules of three. So that's the only number that you need to be able to count to.
That's right. And when you're setting up a joke, only use the word in the punchline once.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Math for comedians.
the numbers game.
Yeah.
Now, you had said that you were anxious to do another interview because you sounded like you were just taking your initial steps in the first interview. So is there anything you haven't covered or I haven't asked in this one that you want the world to know about Kristen Weber mid-2011?
Go on my website, watch my clips, and then call me for a comedy show. Let's put something together at your church and do a family comedy night. I'm hoping that my book gets released. I got a literary agent, and so that's step one.
Yay.
And they've edited some of it, and I'm working on the other half, and then we're going to start shopping it around. So
good.
Hopefully before the year 3000, that will be dope. Or before books don't exist anymore.
Yeah, which is rapidly approaching, right?
I know. I'm like, I got to finish this if I want people to read it, and like not on their little Kindle devices.
You can find everything you could want to know about Kristen Weber at Funny Kristen. Her first name is spelled KRISTIN, lots of I's in there, funnykristen.com. And hey, when you get the book out, then we can do an interview with you. We do lots of author interviews, so you could put on your author hat for us.
Yeah, you'll be my first interview. Because do you remember what you said? And I haven't forgotten it. So, at the last interview, you said, I want to be your first phone call when something comes up.
Ooh, you remember that.
Remember that. And aww. That's why I was like, ooh, a lot of things are happening. I was like, I should call Ken.
Oh, very nice. And again, through the miracle of Facebook, we stay in touch. And
yes.
She posts funny things. I post, well, hopefully funny things.
Responses.
Stuff. It's great.
You speak in puns.
www.funnykristen.com. I don't want to belabor the point, but people might put in the wrong spelling, and it's KRISTIN, funnykristen.com. Anything left to say in this extended visit, Miss Kristen?
No. Advice would be lower your expectations for your life, and you will never be disappointed. You're small enough, and you can achieve anything.
I think I saw that on Facebook.
I know. That's my new motto. I'm generally a happy person, and I always hear people complaining. I'm like, is it just a personality thing? I'm like, no, I think I've finally gotten to the point where my expectations are so low that I just can't be disappointed.
Nothing disappoints you.
Yeah, and it's an odd, I'm not going to lie. I kind of like being in that place.
Oh, wow. Yep, you're one of a kind, Kristen Weber.
I am.
Well, it's been a delight visiting with you again, and the same offer still holds. When you got something shaking or you want to do another interview, let me know.
I will. Thank you so much.